Chapter 1.
Why are they attacking?
The youth, no more than 15 years old, gripped his spear with trembling hands. The veteran to his right was giving him no comfort. In spite of the man's grizzled appearance and broad shoulders, he seemed just as afraid as the rest of the villagers.
I don't know, lad, he admitted,
in what was little more than a whisper. The long sword and shield he carried were worn and battered. He had been in Shinzan's army until just a few weeks ago, spending the past 20 years putting down Ralmarian uprisings.
All I know is that they've burned 3 towns already, and we're the next in line.
Why'd you come back?
The vet bowed his head. He'd been considered an outcast for as long as he'd been a soldier. Unlike the others from the village, he had joined Shinzan's army willingly.
Good question. I suppose I'd simply had enough.
He cast a quick look around. A few nearby men were shooting him hateful stares. But most were too terrified to say anything much to him, or to speak of what was coming.
Did you really kill people for the Emperor?
The vet nodded.
Aye. I killed people. Scores of them. But no matter what others think, I only did what I thought I had to.
Don't listen to his lies, boy,
grumbled an old shopkeeper standing a few feet away. He was wearing a ragged leather breastplate and carried a rusted short blade.
He ran off to join the army the second he was old enough to leave.
The two men stared each other down. It was the shopkeeper's eyes that finally gave way.
So, why did you join?
The boy asked.
It's a long story, and I don't think we have the time for me to tell it now.
As if to illustrate his words, the pounding of thousands of iron-shod boots drummed relentlessly in the distance. It was one of the few sounds the Silent Ones ever made. There would be no battle cries, only the clashing of steel and the screams of the dying villagers. Why indeed had he come back? The veteran briefly wondered. That was a good question. After all, there was no hope. The ill-tempered shopkeeper was about as well-armed a fighter as could be seen. Most others were carrying farm implements or heavy tools, and only a handful wore anything thicker than a tunic to protect them from enemy steel. But the answer to his question really became quite obvious. He had simply come home to die. The army was approaching down the main road that ran directly into the center of town, though the forest on either side would obscure them from view until the vanguard was less than a mile away. The village had no wall, and there'd been no time to erect proper defenses. Not that this would have done anything more than delay their deaths by a few minutes at most.
How many are coming?
The boy asked. The veteran shrugged.
What difference does it make? More than we can handle.
He looked over to the lad and held his gaze for a long moment.
You should run.
This shook the boy's resolve, and for a second he looked as if he might. But then he stiffened and jutted out his chin.
I'm no coward, he stated.
The veteran sniffed.
No? Well, let me tell you this. The wormy ground is stuffed with brave men. I put many of them there myself.
I won't abandon my home,
he shot back, fierce determination banishing the tremor in his voice. A sigh slipped from the old soldier's mouth.
Yes, I suppose I can understand that. And it's not as if running will do anything more than buy you a little time. These Silent Ones, they can't be stopped.
The boots were now much closer, and accompanied by the clanking of steel. The veteran considered that perhaps he shouldn't have warned the villagers of the coming slaughter. They might have preferred a quick death to this. The waiting, the fearful anticipation, was what shattered men's will the most, robbing them of their heart. The lad turned toward the avenue just as the first line of soldiers rounded the bend and came into view. Row upon row of long spears, their steel tips glistening in the morning sun, advanced at a relentless march. At the vanguard sat a horseman clad in resplendent silver armor, and holding a curved blade in his right hand. His helm bore the red plumes of a commander, and the Imperial Raven was splashed across his breastplate. That the 100 or so villagers didn't flee at the very first sight was amazing. The veteran had seen men facing far less daunting enemies lose all courage. At that moment, thoughts of the wife and daughter he had left behind forced their way in. He had not told them anything of what he intended to do. They wouldn't have understood. The Emperor had ordered the destruction of all villages along both sides of the Kaitain-Ralmaria border. Some of the border towns had always been a little bit bothersome, as well as being sympathetic to their Ralmarian neighbours. Others had not shown any hint of rebellion at all. Not that this appeared to matter to Shinzan. Better to kill them all was obviously his solution. At least for now, his family should be safe, the veteran told himself. The capital was not a target of the Emperor's wrath. King Jaxia had served faithfully from the moment he took the throne. But something told the old soldier that ultimately this would not save the monarch. There was an air of finality attached to all of this. The annihilation of the rebels was only the beginning. A middle-aged man with a round face and heavy frame stepped forward. The veteran recognized him as Milriam Barnard, the leader of the village council. With hands held aloft, he set off toward the enemy line. He would be the first to die.
"What's he doing?" asked the boy.
"Trying to negotiate with demons,"
the vet answered grimly. A flash of hope that the counselor might be able to talk them out of this dire situation sparked in the boy's eyes. But the veteran knew better. The Imperial commander raised a hand, bringing the army to an abrupt halt. Cursing under his breath, the veteran raced forward until he was alongside Milriam.
"You should just run."
Milriam sniffed.
"You mean like you did?" "No, you should run much further than that."
The veteran could see the green eyes of the Imperial commander bearing down on them in a cold stare. Reaching into his shirt, he retrieved his badge of rank, holding it aloft. The commander dismounted, a grin on his face.
"Don't tell me you're fighting with this rabble, Lieutenant."
"No, Commander. I had just arrived when I was told that a rebel force was moving to attack the village. But now that I see this is not the case..."
"You're a poor liar. But as I am in no mood to waste time slaughtering this pathetic lot, I'll give you the opportunity to flee."
The veteran eyed him incredulously.
"You will allow them to go unharmed?"
The commander chuckled.
"I will not lift a finger, nor will any of my men."
He regarded the veteran closely.
"Let me guess. This is your home village, and you have heard that we are destroying all the border towns. Well, your information is accurate. There have been far too many reports of treason along this way to ignore. Better to rid ourselves of the nuisance now. Don't you agree?"
Milriam stepped quickly forward to give a curt bow.
"My lord, we are loyal—"
He never got to complete his sentence. The commander's blade was a blur as he swung his arm. Before Milriam could even comprehend what was happening to him, cold, razor-sharp steel sliced completely through his neck and spine. For a moment, he did not move, instead standing there paralyzed like a macabre statue. Then his head rolled from his shoulders, landing with a clearly audible thud just to one side. Blood pulsed from his neck in great spurts, soaking the dirt road. Finally, his arms and legs jerked violently for several seconds before his decapitated body at last crumpled down onto the red-stained earth. The effect of this brutal killing was immediate. Panic-stricken murmurings amongst the villagers carried clearly to the veteran. He knew they were very close to making a wild but hopeless run for their lives. Clenching his jaw in an effort not to let his apprehension show, he bowed.
"I will take my leave, Commander."
The man waved a dismissive hand.
"You do that."
While returning to the frightened gathering, the veteran braced himself. He didn't believe for a moment that they would be allowed to leave in peace. With each step he took, he expected to feel a spear come thudding into his back. but it never came.
Why did he kill Milriam?
The young man demanded. Unlike most of the others, his face was a mask of fury. He was still ready to fight.
Because it amused him, the old soldier replied flatly.
Spreading his arms wide, he addressed the villagers.
Listen to me. We are being allowed to leave. Lay down your weapons and go west. If we stay here, they will kill us all.
His words drew a mixed reaction, mostly of terror, but with sprinklings of defiance. The only way was to lead by example. Pushing his way through the crowd so that he was in clear view of everyone, he tossed his sword to the ground and began walking west. The open surrender of the only true fighting man amongst them was all it took to shatter what remained of the villagers' resolve. Gradually, they followed behind him, pausing only to instruct the few who had remained indoors, mostly women, children, and the elderly, to join them in their defeated march to what they prayed would be safety. The young man was the last to desert his home, even pausing long enough to give the Imperial army a lingering, baleful stare before catching up with the others. Any trace of defiance or anger had vanished in all but a few. It is always easy to speak brave words, considered the veteran. But when you actually saw the swords, the spears, and the soldiers with deadly intent you were facing, courage could abandon even the staunchest heart. And these people were not warriors. These were simple folk. When he had first warned them of the danger approaching, he had advised them to flee. But they had ignored him, out of spite as much as anything else. A stupid reason to die. Their will was initially hardened by stories of the rebellion. That was his guess, anyway. Rumors of the mage's return had reached every corner of Lumnia. And though Kaitane had so far remained loyal, whispers of discontent could be heard in virtually every inn and tavern. Many had set out for Altheona in order to join in the fight. Fools. They had no idea what they would be facing. The veteran listened carefully, trying to penetrate the scraping of boots and grumbles of discontent that grew with every step that took them further away from the army. As much as facing death could cow a man, the removal of it from sight also quickly allowed courage to return. There was no sound of stomping boots at their rear, nor any other indication that the Imperial commander was going back on his word. He looked along the loose line of villagers. Perhaps this atoned for his past misdeeds. His eyes lingered briefly on the wife of the slain Milriam. Her arms were wrapped tightly across her chest, her eyes downcast. If this was the greatest sorrow that must be borne from this situation, then it was a small price. The trees had been growing thinner on either side of the road for some time now, a result of overlogging and ill-thought replanting. But even this was thick and lush compared with the land they moved into when 5 miles west of town. Here, nothing grew, and hadn't for years. It was all due to ancient damage done during the rise of Shinzan. At least, that was what the veteran had been told as a child. It had always made him uneasy when crossing the 20-mile stretch, and today was no exception. A stiff breeze punctuated the ominous mood into which he had been thrown. Winter had been unpredictable this year. One day snow would fall, and then the next it was as if spring were just around the corner. But this wind, it was bone-chilling. Ahead, the procession came to an abrupt halt. The veteran pushed his way to the front, a feeling of dread rushing through him. But on seeing what had startled them, he almost laughed out loud. A woman in a flowing blue dress, her shoulder-length auburn hair blowing carelessly in the breeze, was standing dead center of the road, eyes closed. Her ivory hands were clasped at her waist as if in prayer. The veteran regarded her for a moment.
"Are you all right, miss?" he called.
Her eyes opened. They were pitch black. The veteran's hand instinctively jerked to where his blade should have been, and he cursed its absence.
"Who are you, witch?" he demanded.
The young lad had moved up to join him, a small rock he had picked up held threateningly in his right hand. She gave no reply, though a tiny smirk crept up at the corners of her mouth. Her hands parted and spread wide. Almost instantly, a ball of black flames, 20 feet in diameter, erupted into existence above her head.
"Run!"
the veteran cried. The people needed no urging. They scattered in all directions, their terrified screams ringing loudly in the air. But there was nowhere for them to hide from what was about to happen. They were far beyond even the sparse cover offered by the trees behind them. There was nothing but a flat expanse of hard clay and gravel. With a loud hiss, dozens of tiny streams of black fire issued forth from the blazing ball, each one seeking out a villager with deadly accuracy before striking them squarely in the middle of their backs. The instant they were struck, each victim dropped to their knees, wailing in agony as their bodies were consumed in a vile inferno. The veteran charged forward. After only a few steps, he realized that the young lad was right on his heels. He wanted to stop and tell him to run, but that would have been useless. Besides, it was better to die facing your enemy head on, even if you were without hope. The woman turned her attention to her new foes, yet the flames continued to find fresh victims as if they had minds of their own. She raised her left hand and snapped her fingers. The veteran braced himself for the pain he was certain was about to come. But instead of suffering the same burning fate as the villagers, the ground beneath his and the boy's feet suddenly became soft, sinking their boots to mid-ankle depth. The young man fell forward, frantically clutching at the veteran's shirt to remain standing. For a pace or two they struggled to keep moving forward, but the earth hardened, trapping them securely. The lad let out a feral scream, hurling his rock at the woman and watching it land harmlessly several feet wide of its target. By now, all but a few of the villagers were naught but piles of ashes peppering the barren field. The handful still alive were fleeing with the desperate abandon of the condemned back toward their village. The ball of foul magic dissipated. For the briefest of moments, it appeared as if the woman were going to allow some to keep their lives. But then her eyes glowed red. With a flick of her wrist, 6 wolves appeared, and immediately began to run down those who remained. The veteran and the youth could only watch helplessly, as people they had known for years were torn to pieces, ravaged by the malevolence of this evil in human form. As the screams of the villagers died away, she walked casually up to the trapped pair and knelt before them. The sweet smile on her lips infuriated the veteran far more than anything else she could have done in that moment. Her eyes fell on the youth.
"You remind me of my son," she said, her tender voice that of a kind and gentle soul.
The boy glared and spat.
"You're a monster!"
She reached up to touch her cheek.
"Am I? I don't feel like a monster. But perhaps I am. It doesn't really matter, does it? Your people are dead, and in a moment you will join them. That is, unless you can give me a good reason to allow you to live."
Seeing the defiance in the youth's eyes, the veteran quickly spoke.
"Let him go. If it is fear you wish to spread, you must allow someone else to live."
Slowly she turned.
"And you would sacrifice your life for him?"
The veteran steeled his nerves.
"My life is over anyway. To the Empire, I am a traitor. There is nowhere for me to run."
The woman scrutinized him carefully, her smile never once dimming.
"A very good point. A very good point indeed. And, as I said, he reminds me of my own son."
The idea of this demon having children was unimaginable. He readied himself for what he was sure would be a painful end.
"But then," she continued, "I am to kill my son very soon. Perhaps I should grow accustomed to the idea."
Before the veteran could protest, she snapped her fingers. The lad's head was instantly engulfed in a swirling green haze. His eyes popped wide, and he opened his mouth to cry out, but no sound came forth.
"Stop! Please!"
begged the veteran. But the woman ignored him, utterly. Rising up, still with a ghastly smile on her face, she began strolling easily toward the village. The veteran watched as the flesh on the boy's face began to fall away in large, bloody chunks. In spite of all the horrors he had witnessed over the years, he squeezed his eyes shut, unable to witness the agony the innocent youth was now enduring.
"Tell Lord Dragonvane that I am coming for him," came the woman's voice, "and that I am most certainly excited to be seeing him again after so long."
The veteran could feel the ground begin to soften. Without opening his eyes, he scrambled up and crawled a short distance before rolling onto his back. His breaths came in short gasps, and his heart was thudding loudly in his ears. He forced himself to look over to the young lad. Nothing of his flesh remained, only a bare skull sitting atop a completely untouched body. The stories he had heard of Shinzan's cruelty paled in comparison. This was evil in its purest form. Yes, he must warn the mages of this woman's coming. He could only hope that the Ethan Dragonvane he had heard about was truly as powerful as the stories suggested. And if this devil witch really was Lord Dragonvane's mother, he prayed that her son would be willing to use whatever means necessary to stop her.